Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Nahum chapter 1, we were talking about the fact that when church attendance begins to fall, there's a tendency to stop preaching at the people and just give them an address relevant to the times. Well, let's start the week there today. It seemed like that in America, there were times of revival and there'd be a turning from a lot of these things, and then sin would work its way back in. Wells went through the same problem, and back in the 1920s, there was a great decline in church attendance. And reactions to this situation were manifold. There were a number in nonconformity thought to stop the drift by a change in the church services. There were those, for instance, who critical of the plainness of worship, looked for some kind of liturgy with choir, anthem, and organ giving a major role. Others believed that people would not come to church to be preached at, as they say, and they wished to turn the sermon into an address, not preached, address, relevant to the time, or into an essay style replete with many allusions to authors, poets, and novelists. Well, you know, when you see Calvinism today, one of the ways I can usually identify a Calvinist preacher, even when he doesn't say anything about Calvinistic doctrine, he will quote a lot of authors. And you look those authors up, you'll find most of them are Calvinists. And they seem to have a tendency to get upset if you just preach the Bible without mentioning authors. Kind of like in Jesus' day, when there was, they always talked about the rabbis and so forth and all these writings and all these traditions. And they got upset. Jesus says, but I say unto you, what saith the scriptures? He asked in another place. He kept it to the word of God. And they'd get upset because they wanted them reading their favorite guy, their favorite author. You know, it's interesting in Jesus' day, the Jews, most of those Jews, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees, thought that they were the only ones elected of God. Everybody else was not. They're going to hell, but they were the elect of God. Yet in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, Jesus told Israel that they were to be a nation of priest. What does a priest do? Well, he takes the word of God to people. He speaks to people for God, and he speaks to God for people. That's what a priest does. Israel was to take God to the world to help the world realize that their salvation was in him. Salvation was not in the law. The law was there to show us that we're sinners, that we need salvation. That's why they were looking for that Messiah to come who would be the Savior. But so often in that day of Christ, they quoted all these guys. You see, everybody thinks Calvinism is a thing started with John Calvin. It actually did not. It existed with the Jews first, although it wasn't called Calvinism. And then secondly, before it's called Calvinism, it was Augustine, the Catholic Pope. You know, he was a Mary worshiper. He didn't hinder it at all, and baby baptizer. And those other doctrines, you got to be baptized into Catholic Church in order to be saved. And so they had their own form of Calvinism. And as a matter of fact, John Calvin says that most of what he got from Augustine's writings. Now, isn't it interesting? I had one listener that wrote in, and he is a Calvinist, and he just raked me over coals because of Augustine said he wrote, he did not have a King James Bible. Well, of course, that is very ignorant on his part, because King James is what we give the title to the one translated in English from the Textus Receptus in the Masoretic text. Now, he did, the texts in that day were available, not as readily as they are today, but they were available to people in his position if he had wanted the Textus Receptus. Instead, he used the Vaticanus, the corrupted versions, and which in part it was a partner with the critical text. And so what happened is that they just simply had those things, but oh, this guy says he didn't go verse by verse. No, he didn't. Had he gone verse by verse and taken the Bible as it is to men as they are, he would not have had those corruptible doctrines of his. So again, we begin to understand when we look at these things of just what's going on here in the day in which you and I live. You see, churches are changing today. They think they've got to change in order to keep their crowd, as if keeping the crowd is the goal instead of pleasing God is the goal. The only power God recognizes in the church is the power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of education, not the power of organization, not the power of promotion, not the power of numbers, not the power of religious flesh, not the power of politics or personality. The only power that God in heaven recognizes in the church is the power of the resurrection. Most churches aren't experiencing that because they have pews full of people that are not necessarily wicked people. They're just not willing to die. They're not living in adultery and drunkenness, but they are living in self-will. They've redirected self. Now it's a clean self. Now it is a religious self. Now it is a good self, but it's still self. Living for its own pleasure. Unwilling to die to self. Unable to experience the power of the resurrection, as the apostle, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, again, these are they who create another Jesus, rejecting the Holy God and trading in the real Jesus for another Jesus of an itching ears, flesh-indulging God who gives liberty to the flesh to fulfill its lust. Isn't it interesting when they speak of liberty and grace today that they so often apply it to the flesh and say we're free to do this? You're a legalist. You've got these standards. You're just an out-and-out legalist. Okay. Leviticus chapter 19. If you go there, you'll find out that we are supposed to love one another. Now, since that is Leviticus, that's right smack dab in the middle of the law. I mean, Leviticus 19 and verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So, since that's the law, I guess that is legalistic, don't you? Now, when you say that, they begin to him and Hall and try to figure out something else, because that just doesn't fit in with what they thought. But you see, this move is doomed to ultimate failure, although it seems to attract many people. Just as in Jeremiah chapter 42 through 44, most of the Jews followed that group that went into Egypt. They went in for the safety of Egypt instead of trusting God. Well, they were not only destroyed in Egypt, their families did not return. They thought if they simply let out blood, they would be releasing from him his sickness. But their good intentions weakened and eventually killed George Washington. Now, I don't like it that people today are running down all of our forefathers, whether it's Washington or Hamilton or Jefferson or Franklin or Lincoln and a host of others. They're just down on them. They say the worst things about them, make all accusations about them. Perhaps one author they found back in those days said something bad about them, while all the other authors said something else. Now, that makes you wonder, doesn't it? Does it not? And so you say, well, how do I know? Well, just see what the proclamations, the other things that these guys in their position made, and see if they're just and good or if they're evil. We had in this country, we had a lady talking about the concentration camps at the border there between Mexico and the U.S. And they said, oh, they're just concentration camps. Well, my dad fought in World War II, and he's one of the first soldiers at Dachau when they freed Dachau. And as President Eisenhower had told the soldiers to take pictures, as many as they can, he had a little Brownie camera. Now, I have pictures that I keep in my house, and others have them as well, that my dad took, and we replicated them. But I keep some for my grandchildren, so that if anybody denies the Holocaust, we can show them what a lie that is. See, we have proof. But now this young lady who says that they're concentration camps, I find that very interesting, because there have been similar things to that in history, not just in World War I and II. No, there's been similar things down throughout history of concentration type camps. And so I find it interesting in all of history that this is the only concentration camp that they're climbing the walls and fences and chancing getting killed to get in instead of trying to escape it. Now, that is just the height of ignorance. But that young lady does hold an office in our U.S. Congress. So what do you do about her? Hate her? No, you pray for her soul. Obviously, she needs to get saved. And let's just pray that God puts somebody in her life that would take her to Jesus Christ, and she would see the truth of the gospel and get saved. That would be the best thing that could happen for that young lady, and I hope it does. There is no pleasure for me in anyone going to hell.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
His truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible.